Okay, and then?
So going on to a different topic, what is ISKCON's take on homosexuality?
What is ISKCON's take on homosexuality?
Yes, so how is it viewed by people who consider themselves of this particular group? How do they fit into
Islam? Well, our whole approach is not specifically to homosexuality, but to sexuality. Because there's all kinds of sexuality nowadays, homosexuality, transgender, and heterosexuality, so it's a really sexually intoxicated world. Everyone's obsessed with sex of one sort or another. And our business is that sex is meant to be controlled. Ideally, no sex at all is the best way of living. But if one can't live like that, then sex is meant to be used for what Krishna created sex for, which is for property appropriation, not meant for enjoyment. So whether that's for heterosexuals, homosexuals, others, and one thing is that there's a tendency, people have tendency, everyone has tendency. If someone has a tendency towards sex life, but is able to control that, then that's fine. And we don't, someone may be heterosexual, homosexual, so what? But they should be controlled. And since homosexuality doesn't give license for having children, you can't have children, therefore you really have to be self-controlled. You can't have the type of sex life that is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita for heterosexuals. But aside from that, I know many homosexuals who are very good devotees, very productive, but it's not an easy life, because they don't, neither they're attracted to the opposite sex, and neither can they therefore have sex life in a restricted way. So it's difficult, but other than that, we don't make distinctions between people on the basis of their sexuality. But sexuality should be decreased, and liberation means ultimately no sex life. You want to ask her further on that?
No, I think that was I'm going to move on to a bit more spiritual topics. So if Radharani is constantly engaged in thoughts of Krishna, service of Krishna, longing for Krishna, she surely would not want to think about conditioned souls in the material world who are envious of her Shyamasundar. Is Radharani partial to only those who have reached prema bhakti?
No, but delivering conditioned souls is service to Krishna also. So, that's being absorbed. Being absorbed in Krishna, that doesn't mean you're just absorbed in his name and his pastimes and so on. It also means that you're absorbed in his service. And service to Krishna is also giving Krishna consciousness to others, which is also Srimati Radharani's concern. That's not only for liberated souls, but for conditioned souls also. And the same is there for all devotees. That's why Krishna's associates come into the material world to preach Krishna consciousness. They don't sacrifice their Krishna consciousness. For them, absorption in Krishna service is thinking about Krishna. And that's important thing. It's like Arjuna's fighting on the battlefield, and absorption in service is absorption in Krishna.
Considering we are in Mayapur, and when we visit holy dams, and there are certain material discomforts such as thieves or lack of hygiene with open gutters and polluted waters, we have animals causing discomfort, such as Vrindavan monkeys. How then can one imbibe the so-called spirit of Mayapur or Vrindavan when visiting holy dams?
Well, that's why it's important to hear. It's important to associate with. That's what he, Yatirtha Buddhi, Shalite Nakarhichit. That's why the essence of going to a holy place is to associate with the devotees who live there. So to see the dam through their eyes, because it's a fact that what we see doesn't necessarily always represent what we read about. Still, we need to try to see beyond that, and it's one of the functions of purposes of parikrama, is we go and by hearing of Krishna's pastimes at places, we appreciate more the nature of the dham and are able to sort of see through that covering. There's a material covering of the dham on which conditioned souls walk, but liberated souls see through that, and they don't see that Havdishtavan, the dam that you see, but rather they see beyond that. They see a spiritual abode. And that's why, and if someone is not very advanced, then the recommendation is don't stay more than 3 days, because then one will start to just see faults. So if one becomes absorbed in that type of mentality, then Shastra recommends that one should then leave. Yeah. It takes time to really appreciate the transcendental nature of the Dham, and as one becomes more Krishna conscious, one will see through it. But the whole idea of building temples and installing deities and places of Krishna's pastimes, the whole purpose of that is so that when pilgrims come, then they will get a good impression That's what the dam should actually look like. It shouldn't be allowed to deteriorate like that. And so that's called dam seva. That's why in the past many kings or people did so much to make all these beautiful memorials and temples and kunds and landscape. It's all to enable devotees to better enter into the mood of the Dham. Last thing.
So, why is it spiritually beneficial to walk bare feet in Vrindavan and Mayapur?
Because you touch the dust. That's the same dust Krishna walked barefoot. That's the dust of Krishna's feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet is in the Dham. When you walk barefoot, then the dust of Krishna's feet touches you and you become more purified. So you get twice as much benefit going barefoot as you do walking around in shoes. And it's also a sign of humility. Shoes are in a holy place. Just like in your house, you don't wear shoes because it's not considered to be clean. Shoes have all kinds of things on them. Similarly, the Dham is our home. And so if it's in our home, then we don't wear shoes. And it's also considered to be the body of Krishna. It's actually the body of Lord Balaram. So you have to walk on with feet that you can't avoid. But you can avoid walking with shoes. It's just like Pundarik Vidyaniti, when he would come to the Ganga, he wouldn't bathe in the Ganga because he didn't want to put his feet in the Ganga, because the feet are considered to be the lowest part of the body, and then the shoes are the covering for the lowest part. Padasevanam. So it's respect. We show respect to the Dham. Hare Krishna.